Hi, I'm Emily Rawlings.
And I'm Kayla Connick. Welcome to Forget Dis, taking the dis out of disabilities.
We are music therapists from Dynamic Music Therapy in Las Vegas, Nevada. This podcast highlights people who live with unique challenges that they have transformed. We will meet people from different walks of life, discuss how music therapy can help in specific ways, and present how to and how not to talk to people with disabilities.
If you live in Las Vegas, we have some pretty exciting news. If you don't, this is still great news. We're here with Taylor Gardner today talking about the opening of the Garden Foundation. Now, the Garden Foundation is a nonprofit that just opened up this Tuesday, the 29th. Now, the Garden Foundation is special, I think, because it focuses on individualized attention. For people with disabilities here in Las Vegas, there's just not enough of. So Taylor wanted to provide job training and various therapies, and really overall just a person-centered approach, all of which will be affordable for everybody. And this was all inspired by her sister, who has Down syndrome, and their own personal struggles of finding adequate resources and just continuing education and care for her sister. So let's hear the story behind the Garden Foundation.
I hope you were able to find the place. Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
I know it can be kind of tricky to find just because it's like hiding back here and
people. Okay, so do you work here as well as a music therapist?
I do, yeah.
Oh, very cool. And then, Emily, do you guys go everywhere to different locations or is everything here?
No, we do both.
You do both?
Yeah. Okay. We have people here and then we go to different facilities.
Okay, we totally need to chat then because I would love to have you guys at the foundation. That would be so cool. That would be an awesome partnership.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, this will be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yay. Had you heard about music therapy before?
Only because of Emily. I was on the board at the Down Syndrome Organization and ran their children's program.
Okay.
And so I knew through them that they had music therapy a lot. And obviously, I know how beneficial it is. So, yeah.
Perfect.
So I was good. My fiance, he can like play the keyboard and play the guitar. It is not an instructor by any means, but I was like, hope you don't mind. I'm volunteering you to teach some classes. He's like, what? So you guys would be much better. He's probably like, thank you for having someone else. Yeah, so that will be good. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about the Garden Foundation?
Yeah.
What's the news on that?
So we're a nonprofit organization. We got our status in December. So paperwork, gosh, was last April. So it's been a longer process. Mm-hmm. But it was great because we could kind of get the foundation solid before we really kind of launched everything. So kind of the background story is my little sister, Lindsay, was born with Down syndrome, and she's 29, and so she was going to an organization here in town after she graduated from the school system, which she graduated at 22, and then she started going to a day program organization here in town, and she went there for almost 10 years. She loved it. She did really well, made friends, and it was a good thing for her, but Lindsay needs a lot of assistance. So she needs help feeding and bathing and toileting and those types of things. And so my family and I always requested that she have more of a consistent person with her during the day. And so when we would take her, just as someone who's nonverbal, so you feel comfortable kind of who she's with, to know, okay, we know she has to go to the bathroom every 2 hours, or we know that sound means, you know, she doesn't feel good today, or whatever that may be. We all kind of thrive in consistency and routine, so especially people with special needs. So, long story short, and they have, I believe it's a PIP. It's very similar to an IEP in the school system. And so at her yearly meeting last year, they determined they weren't going to be able to provide the consistency and care for Lindsay. And so they let her go from the program. Which was really hard for my family, really, really hard. And I think what's even harder was we knew how hard it would be for Lindsay. And I don't think that that was much of a thought there on the organization's end.
It was such a sudden change, exactly. too. And you were just saying consistency and...
Yeah, it's really important. And for especially for... I mean, she was going there for almost 10 years. And so to kind of halt that, you know, out of nowhere, and she doesn't quite understand why she's not seeing her friends every day or, you know, doing the same activities every day. She didn't quite understand. And so that was really hard to kind of explain to her as to why, and she didn't do anything wrong, as to why that was happening. So my family and I, in looking for other programs for Lindsay to go to during the day, was really, really challenging. And people think Las Vegas, oh, huge city, ton of resources. And unfortunately,
not so much.
Exactly, no. For this population, it was really startling, to be honest. Wow. And, you know, I've been immersed kind of in the disability community for a long time as far as volunteering and being on boards and different things like that, but not realizing what a lack of programming there was difficult. And so kind of in that search to find Lindsay another program where she wasn't going to be babysat or at a daycare, we still wanted her stimulated and included in the community and still learning and furthering kind of her education and skill set. We couldn't find that. Mm-hmm. And so that's where it was kind of like a light bulb. If this isn't here, and we were talking to other families who were having the same challenges, this needs to be here. It kind of blew my mind. Like, there has to be something out here. There's no way in the city of Las Vegas that we don't have anything doing that. And so...
we got to step up our game.
Exactly. And so someone had to step up and do it. And so that is kind of why the Garden Foundation came about, is just because there is such a lack here. And so we're hoping to kind of bridge that gap a little bit.
Yeah. And I mean, if there's nothing there, why try it yourself?
Exactly. Exactly.
And if you want it done, then okay.
Then we got to do it ourselves. Yeah, exactly. Easier said than done, I might add, but...
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Not easy.
Yes.
Not easy.
But when you have the why, mm-hmm. and you have a really strong reason, and you have a heartfelt connection, whether it's a sibling or a child, or some kind of connection to your reason for doing it, it makes it a little bit easier. So
yeah. The motivation's there.
Exactly.
And it's cool too, because I think it will set a precedent for everyone else now. It's like, okay, we've established, here's like the first thing of its kind probably in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Which, crazy to think about, right? Because you think like, wow, yeah.
It's kind of unreal.
City,
exactly.
You know, and... But no, yeah, I think it will set like a precedent too. It'll be like, okay, here's one thing. And, like,
I really
now we
hope
can develop
so.
Something like this.
To
the
build
same
off
model.
Of it. Exactly.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think that is kind of what the Garden Foundation is trying to do, is kind of set a model that could be easily duplicated, whether it's other locations here in the city or within the state, up in Reno, or, I mean, who knows where it could expand to. But our goal is to make a model that's kind of easily duplicated, because it is kind of it's an important thing that every city should have.
So talk more about the details of the model. What are the logistics? Like,
yeah,
how does it work?
Absolutely. So essentially, the main portion of our program is the day program. And so, of course, that includes, you know, an educational basis, but it also is movement and music and art. But what we've done is also contracted with a therapy office here in Las Vegas, Tilton Therapy. And basically, they have speech, occupational, physical therapy, as well as assistive technology therapists. And so why we've contracted with them is they obviously are licensed therapists and experts in kind of what they do. And so they're able to come to our facility and perform, whether it's group or individual therapy, to kind of further our clients' skill sets. Because I really strongly feel, even after they graduate from the school system at 22 years old, that we're never done learning. And there's lots of opportunities for you or I to continue to go to school or take classes or do different things and further our skills. And the learning for someone with a person with a disability shouldn't stop there. And so you know, obviously there's a huge range too, because an occupational therapist working with my sister might be working on using utensils, feeding herself. Mm-hmm. An occupational therapist working with someone who is a little bit more independent means they're working on them daily living skills. So how they're fixing a meal and how they're sorting their laundry. And so we're able to help a wide range of people and further their skills. And a really important focus of the Garden Foundation is to focus on the individual. We really strive for person-centered planning. That's a huge focus, because everyone going into a room and doing the same thing, how beneficial is that? One person's kind of always being shorted as far as, you know, them being challenged and furthering themselves. And so this model allows us to really focus on the individual and help them each meet their own goals and their fullest potential, whatever that may be.
So what's the capacity of your foundation, like, currently?
Sure. So our doors actually open next week.
Wow.
So, yay! Yeah, it's exciting. Yes. And so our goal is to, for the day program, which, again, is just one portion of what we offer, our facility is about 2,300 square feet. So max capacity for people would probably be around 20 people in our day program at a time. That's full time, 5 days a week. So we offer, I know there's some people that would like to come 2 days a week to 5 days a week, that type of thing. So they can kind of cater it around their individual schedules and their needs. And then also another component of the Garden Foundation is our community internship program. And internships, obviously, and career paths and mentorships are common in helping people with disabilities. Mm-hmm. But I think our model varies a little bit in the fact that typically programs may say, here are the five job choices for someone with a disability. You can do janitorial work, you can be a busser at a restaurant, you can do buttons, or you can make packets. And which one would you like to do? And those are their options. And so our goal is to really sit down with that client, again, our person-centered planning, and sit down with that client and say, what are your interests? What are your hobbies? What do you like to do? We kind of all get choices in what we like to do. Yeah. And what, you know, based around our likes and our strengths. And so people with disabilities should be given those options. For example, we have a young lady who loves clothes. Love shopping and trying on different clothes, don't we all, girls, right?
Yeah.
So we're sitting down with her and partnering with a local boutique where she can kind of, obviously it's within her interest because she loves clothes, and she can kind of learn taking the sizes to the clients and folding them and putting them in the right spots or hanging them up. And it's a career, yes. Is she learning? Absolutely. Furthering her skill set. And she's doing something that she enjoys to do. Mm-hmm. So even someone with nonverbal skills, but they would still like a job, instead of sitting and doing packets, I don't know how passionate that person is about doing packets. Some people are, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. It's whatever they prefer to do.
Yeah.
But they could certainly, and they love to read, they could certainly sit in a library and categorize books and place them where they're supposed to go. And so I think that opportunities are really endless as far as a person with a disability and kind of where their career path could take them. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure that we're giving them every opportunity to do that. So I hope the Garden Foundation can really assist in that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I've always wanted to see more of, like, a representation of people with disabilities in the workforce. And then going off of that, too, not only just having a job, you know, and you mentioned, like, the five, right?
Yeah.
We had a similar sentiment kind of reiterated when we interviewed John from John's Crazy Socks, who's a business owner.
Yes, I bought some socks. He's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And they said the same thing. They were like, well, I mean, you shouldn't have to be relegated to just a job that you aren't passionate about. So they were like, well, what do we like? And they first said food.
Yeah.
So they were like, well, we'll just do a food truck. But we don't cook. You
right,
know?
Like, right.
And then what else do we like?
Like to enjoy it, but maybe not make it. I'm right there with John.
That's what they said. And then they're like, well, we socks, we like socks. Yes. So let's, and then he's like, let's go into business.
And
then,
can't you tell, isn't there such a difference in someone who really enjoys what they're doing? Yeah. And that's not just someone with a disability. That's anyone. Mm-hmm. You know, you can really tell if someone enjoys the work that they do versus when they don't. And so I think it's important for us to give those options. And like you said, I think it's important. I think it's just as beneficial for businesses to hire someone with disabilities. They're kind of learning new things too, aren't they? They're learning how to communicate with someone with a disability, mm-hmm. which can be different for someone who's never really been around someone with a disability. And so it's kind of humanizing it, and it's taking that stigma down, and it's how you're training Susie is probably how you're going to train Sally too. And so it's really not that different. We're all way more alike. And I think it's just, it's a great practice for everyone. And I really believe that businesses will be very open to and receptive.
Yeah, I think once they see like how hard they work and like how they're not so different from any other employee.
Exactly.
Especially when they're passionate about something. They see it just kind of shine through, and it's easy. You know, it's like, so... Yeah, breaking down, like, those barriers.
And just, I'm still sitting here, even as, like, a small business owner, going, what could I
You
know, what kind of positions could I create and for that kind of
And that's
thing.
The thing, is that I think so many business owners would be so open to it, but they don't know how.
Yeah, they lack resources, too.
Right, and so they're thinking, you know what, I would love to hire someone with a disability. I'm not opposed to it. How do they go out and do that? I couldn't really tell you. And so I think it's great that we're able to kind of handhold in that process and say, let us bring someone to you, and they're passionate about the work, and we really want to set someone up for success. Mm-hmm. And so it's important for us to kind of have an intake with someone in our day program first, so we can say, okay, Sarah, you want to run a coffee shop. Well, here are the skills that you're going to need to run a coffee shop. Let's make sure that you have those down. So you know how to take orders, you know how to fulfill on those orders, you know how to stock the pastries. Let's not send someone in there and set them up for failure. Yeah. Really kind of preparing them and making sure that they're ready and kind of introducing them to the environment and that type of thing is really important before they even enter that position. So I think that's something that we'll be able to help with too.
Yeah, definitely matching them up with employers. And then you're doing, a favor for employers, too. Like, because, you're right. You don't think about that. They lack kind of resources or knowledge about it, too. It's like, where do I find somebody?
Exactly.
You know. Yeah. So that's a good point. That's really good.
I want to know a little bit more about your sister.
Yes. My favorite person.
That's one of the things that we really like to talk about on this show is how do we approach someone with differing abilities? You know, when we don't have the experience as individuals that work with someone like that, to be around someone like that, how do we approach? You say that she's nonverbal.
Right.
So let's say I'm on the street and I want to talk to her because she looks interesting and I want to talk to her. How do I do it?
Yeah. And that's such a great question because... how would anyone know? You know, sometimes I think us as advocates or people who have people with disabilities in our family kind of get very protective and can sometimes get defensive. And we need to take a step back a little bit and use it as a learning opportunity and a teaching opportunity to say, wait a minute, if I was in their shoes, I may not know the right way to do this either. And so most of the time people are coming from a place of they don't understand and they don't know. And so I love this question, and I think it's really just the human element. Mm-hmm. And so whether someone's verbal or nonverbal, has a disability, doesn't have a disability, always just breaking it down to that human element. And so yes, Lindsay is nonverbal. She understands a lot more than people give her credit for, that's for sure. But I think I remember this story. I'm going to cry. We were at Disneyland, and a little boy turned around. And typically, little kids can be frightened or scared or intimidated by someone with a disability. They're unsure. They don't know how to react. And this little boy turned around to my sister, and he said, Hi, how's it going? I'm going to Disneyland too. Aren't you so excited? And my heart just totally melted because he didn't see Lindsay as having Down syndrome or having a disability, and Lindsay couldn't talk back. But the fact that he just turned around and was so excited about Disneyland and talked to her like a kid and like a human, it was just, I will forever, forever remember that moment. And I think a tear just rolled down my face in the van to Disneyland. Because it was just so heartwarming that he really didn't see a disability. And so that's what I would encourage anyone who's trying to communicate with someone with a disability in general, and even if you're unsure. And sometimes I get unsure because not everyone, you know, communicates the same way as my sister, or we're all individuals. That's another thing to remember too, is that someone with Down syndrome is not, my sister with Down syndrome isn't the same as another gentleman with Down syndrome, or everyone's kind of an individual. But to really just talk to them like a human, say hi. And for parents teaching their children, don't say, don't stare, don't look at them, turn away. Maybe use that as a teaching experience too, to say, mm-hmm. say hi, tell her what your name is, ask her what hers is. And it's okay if they don't talk back, and just explaining that we all communicate in a different way and she's just communicating a little bit differently. And so I think that's probably, that was a lot, but that's start with being a human, that's all.
Yeah, that's the key, like talk as if you're just talking to anyone else you would see on the street or greet.
Exactly.
Or some, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, I like how you put it, the human, like be human about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, just be human.
it's great too, it's like it takes, yeah, like the innocence of a child that doesn't, yeah, see the
exactly.
disability to kind of make us realize like, oh, like we don't have to either.
Right,
you know? Like,
and isn't that just such a moment that...
I know, oh, that's so sweet.
It really was, it just that... He understood it a lot more than adults do, you know?
You get it.
Yeah, he got it.
I'm not that comfortable turning around at the person behind me in the grocery store. Right. Talking to them. Right.
If you're going to Disneyland.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, hey!
That's true. Yeah, Disneyland can make everyone really friendly.
Yeah, it makes me want to go to Disneyland now. Yeah.
Or Disney World. Too.
I've never been to Disney World.
Me neither.
Yeah.
I don't remember it.
Yeah.
Are you Las Vegas local?
I am. Born and raised here.
Awesome. Me too.
You too?
Yeah.
Okay. It's fun to kind of meet someone else because
I know.
It's appearing that it's more rare than
it
not.
Is. Yeah.
So.
It's kind of like, yay.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. What high school did you go to?
I went to Centennial.
Nice.
Yeah. Which we're still kind of, that's where our facility is still a little bit. It's like when you're from here, I don't know about you, but I kind of like stay in my bubble. I don't really like venture out a whole lot. Like people all have to go to Henderson for who knows what. And I'm like, what world am I in?
Yeah,
I have no idea
place.
To get anywhere. Yeah, it's a different place. It's kind of cool though. We're growing and good things.
I think Vegas is doing, is having like a little turnaround moment.
Yeah,
like
it's good.
Yeah,
it's
we
good.
Have like the nights and everyone's like.
I'm so into that. And
yeah. It's more like community oriented now. Whereas as before, it's more of like a transient place to kind of like come work for a bit and then get out of here and.
And I get it, but I could never leave. My family's here, and I'm like, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere.
Like,
well, now I'm really not going anywhere.
Yeah,
I'm like, we're really planted here. I'm here. So.
No, that's so exciting
it's
about
good.
The Garden Foundation.
It's
like,
great.
Speaking of, like, the
yes.
name itself, I think, is pretty obvious. But talk about the name anyways.
Yeah. So, the Garden Foundation. So, my name's Taylor Gardner. Not spelled like
the
gardener.
Is there a connection?
It's not spelled like that, but a little play on words. And I did want to do something that, obviously, my sister is the inspiration for everything. And I wanted to have some sort of family legacy attachment to it. And so that was really important, but I didn't want to use her first name. And so the Garden Foundation, at first it was just the garden. And then we kind of added on the foundation to I guess, give people more of an understanding that we were a nonprofit organization. So, but fortunately for me and my last name, garden and growing, there's so many, and I'm such a cheese ball that, like, there's so many great, like, poems and different things that you can use as far as a garden growing and planting seeds and flowers. And so I love all of it. So yeah, it's turned out really nicely. And it really, I think it even more so, I think, than I realized at the beginning when we first gave it a name, that I think it really speaks to what we're doing. And it's kind of allowing people to bloom and to blossom and to kind of give them those tools. And Bloom Where You Are Planted is on one of our big walls in there. And I kind of, I get like a wow moment every time I look at it, because it speaks to every person as an individual, whether you have a disability or you don't. We're always kind of planted somewhere in life, no matter where you're at a certain place in time, when a challenge hits you, or, you know, when you've finally made it to that goal. And you're always trying to develop wherever you are at that moment. And so I think that Bloom Where You Are Planted just kind of, it speaks to that as each one of us really trying to reach our full potential no matter where we're at.
Yeah, and it really speaks to, like, the model too. Like, you're, it's all individual. Like,
exactly.
We'll meet you where you're at, and then
wherever
lift you
you're
up
at,
from there.
Exactly, and help build you up to kind of blossom wherever you are. So, yeah, it's good.
I was thinking with what you said, you know, everybody, all of us have that opportunity that we need to kind of grow with whatever's been dealt to us.
Yes.
And it kind of made my brain went all over the place when you said that. But I was thinking about, you know, often we grow the most when we're in those periods of tribulation in our lives.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so then it made me think about hundreds of people I've met with different abilities.
Yeah.
And how awesome so many of them are. And obviously that makes sense now.
Yes.
Because they've been dealt an incredible amount of tribulation.
Absolutely. And the resilience there. Isn't that kind of amazing? And to be a cheese ball and to throw out another quote, because I'm all about it now. But it's kind of, you know, when you think you've been buried, you've actually been planted. Mm. And all flowers kind
That's
of...
a good quote.
Isn't that great?
Gosh.
And I know. And how relatable is that to everyone, you know? And even maybe when a parent gets a diagnosis of a child with a disability, and, you know, they're really overwhelmed with that. And that can be, gosh, that you feel like you're buried. What just happened? Mm-hmm. And when really that could turn into the best thing in your whole life. I feel like that with my sister. Yeah. Obviously, I wasn't of age to where I could really participate in what was happening, you know, when Lindsay was born. But I know it was a challenge for my family, absolutely. And but to say, and I think they would agree with me, to say Lindsay's been the biggest blessing, she really has. And like you said, Emily, I think it just speaks to the resilience that people have when they're born with a disability, to kind of overcome all these things that you and I could really don't, will never understand. And so I just, my heart has a special place for all of them, because I think it's pretty amazing.
Well, we're so excited for the Garden Foundation.
Yeah, we really are.
I know,
you.
Like, it's
really,
really
cool.
After you mentioned that too, I'm like, yeah, Vegas is like kind of about resources and stuff for people with disabilities. So it's like to have something like this.
But
like,
I mean, to be honest, it's kind of crazy being immersed in the disability community and not realizing that up until this point when it became personal. You know, it's kind of, so people, I would say, I mean, people who are not immersed in the disability community really have no idea. And we do have some kind of large founding organizations here that, do good things for good people. But if you're looking for specific things, they may not be able to offer that. And so I think it depends on what a family is looking for, what the child, I guess they're adults, but, what they're looking for to kind of grow and to further themselves. And so, yeah, I just hope to be another option for families that that can really do good things for their family.
We really appreciate you coming and talking with us today.
Yeah, of course. This was so fun. I've never done a podcast, my very first one, so that's awesome.
If there was just one thing that you wanted people to take away from this conversation, like, what would you want them to hear
about? Oh, gosh, one thing. That's so hard. There's so many things I could say. I think the one thing is that just realizing that we're all more alike than we are different. And really, I spoke on it earlier, and I think really just bringing it back to the human element and realizing that we all want the same things. We all want happiness. We all want to be included in things. We all want to have fun. We all want to be loved. And those are kind of the essential things, whether it's you or me, my sister, someone else with a disability, and no matter what that disability is, we all want those same things. So to just kind of remember that when we're at school or at work or we see someone out in public, to say hi and bring back the human element.
Yeah, but even when you're going about your daily routines, I think it's just important to kind of step out of yourself for a second and just take the time out to talk to somebody, you know?
Exactly.
Just talk.
Yeah. Look up from your phone.
Look up from your phone. Yeah. And teach your kids and children to do the same thing. Exactly. And this world could get a lot better a lot faster.
Yeah. We'll work on it. Yeah.
But use your phone to listen to the podcast, right?
Yes. There you go.
When you're not having to interact with anybody, you're alone.
Yeah, whatever. There you go.
Then listen to this podcast.
There you go.
And then practice.
There you go.
Yes.
This was so fun, you guys. I'll have to listen to it, but you guys spoke with John from...
Yeah, we recently spoke with John and
Mark. Did you guys
do
it, like, over the phone or
something? Yeah, we did, like, the Zoom thing.
Oh, cool. Is Mark his father?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, it's those two that do the business.
Yeah. I follow them, and I'm like, I kind of geek out over them, because it's so cool.
I did, too, and I'm like, I want them on our show.
Yes, no, 1,000%.
I was like, let's ask, you know, let's shoot an email.
You know who else is really cool? Have you heard of, like, Biddy and Bo's coffee shop?
They're the ones who employ.
Yes. And the whole coffee shop. It's somewhere
is
like
in east.
East and south, or yeah, somewhere maybe coast east coast. Or... Yeah, but I love following them.
Oh,
it's very cool.
There's been a bunch of videos have been popping up on Facebook about different people with different abilities.
Yeah. Really?
Building these businesses.
Yeah.
Like, there's a car wash that employs people with autism in Florida.
Oh, cool.
You know, and then Coletti's Bakery or something is a girl with Down syndrome.
Okay.
Started a thing.
Yeah, there's one there's a pizza place up in Reno. I can't remember what it's called. I can't remember. But I can find out for you guys if you want it.
That'd be great.
Yeah. But so can you, like, share this on Facebook or Instagram?
You sure can.
Okay, cool.
I'm sharing. We really want to open up our listener base for this podcast. The entire function of it is to be able to open up conversations with our community. So we're thinking about these things, we're talking about these things. These are really important topics, and we want to be able to spread more of the awareness around. And so we love being able to do this podcast. We've mentioned before that we have a Patreon where you can go and you can pledge your support for this podcast. The more support we can get, the more episodes we can put out in the future. So we have some rewards in order to be a patron on our account. And so if you go to patreon.com, patreon.com/forgetdis, FORGETDIS. And you can see there some of the different podcast episodes that we've uploaded, as well as some different rewards if you become a patron member. So the new rewards that we have, if you pledge $1 a month, then you can have access to some discussion that we'll have that's open to Patreon supporters for our Forget Dis. If you pledge $5 a month, then you can have that access, as well as access to the entire ending music track. At the end of each episode, you'll notice that we've got a little bit of music. Usually it's just an improvisation that Kayla and or I do, just related to the topic that we do. And so we're going to have the entire track available to those of the tier that they can digitally download. Today, you will hear just a little bit of Itsy Bitsy Spider. Taylor talked about her sister, and her favorite song is Itsy Bitsy Spider, and so we dedicate this track to her. Also on Patreon, if you do $10 a month, then you get everything that we already mentioned, plus you get one of these improvisational tracks at the end of an episode dedicated to you. For $15 a month, you get entered into a free monthly drawing where you can get something kind of $10 or $15 value where it's like a small percussion instrument or iTunes gift card or something along those lines. $20 a month, then you get an egg shaker with the Forget Disc logo, plus everything we mentioned before, of course. And for $25 a month, you can have an advertising blurb on an episode. You know, are you a small business? Do you want people to know about you? Are you a consultant? Do you sell things? You can be able to get a little blurb about you. Maybe you're a musician and you want to get the word out. So you can do that through these little patron awards. So the idea really is just to be able to open up conversations like we said earlier. And we love being able to do it and we want to be able to continue to do it. So thank you so much, Taylor, for sharing with us about the Garden Foundation. It is such an exciting thing for Las Vegas. We think it is going to really be amazing for our town, and we're really looking forward to seeing how it grows. Thank you for listening to Forget Discs.